Blog Talk Radio.
Real sports guy. People's Radio. It's RSG up in your headphones. Allow me to introduce
the illustrious Queen Anne Hoop. Marcus the Game Changer. The Seventh Jackson. D. Will. The Ill Executive. He's like Suge Knight without the anger management issues. Phil P, the sports PhD. This dude is coming at you from all angles. He's got all the bases covered. There's not a whole lot about sports this brother don't know.
Can you dig it, sucker?
Featuring Ray, Justin Page. Eric Hamilton.
RSG fans is like, woo!
Nah, I blame it on Nintendo.
It's definitely a gin party around here. Definitely a gin party.
Don't bring any Kool-Aid.
You don't get no better than this, baby.
I want winners. You better act like it. Pick it up a little bit. Okay? Get your chin up. Smile. Smile. Anybody can be peace.
Don't get no more realer.
All right, welcome to the Real Sports Guys for Real Guys Talk Real Sports, RSG, Renegade Radio. It is your host, Marcus the Game Changer. Now, before we get into the proceedings this evening, the Real Sports Guys would like to take a moment to just recognize and send thoughts and positive prayers out to the victims and all those affected by the tragedy in Boston at the Boston Marathon this past weekend. So we're going to take a quick moment, just kind of have a moment of silence for those affected in the tragedy in Boston. All right. Welcome to the Real Sports Guys, for Real Guys Talk Real Sports, RSG Renegade Radio. A lot going on this week. For the next 90 minutes or so, we're going to do our best to take you to a different place, kind of hopefully give you some room to let your mind breathe, laugh a little bit, take your mind off some of the harsh realities that have come to light that exist in our world. With the events that took place in Boston, as trivial as sports can be, it is an escape from reality at times for a lot of us. So allow us to aid you in that during this time right now. So, you know, entertain us, humor us for the next little bit as we try to take you to a different space. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. But before we get into the proceedings this evening, allow me to introduce my man, 100 grand, Phil T Sports PhD. What's happening, Captain?
In 2002-2003 season, Ben Wallace played 39 minutes per game, 15.4 rebounds, 7 points, 3.5 blocks, and a steal and a half per game. I'm bringing it to you like that all night.
Lunch pail, hard hat. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Meat and potato kind of guy.
Yep.
Right, he's going to do the dirty work.
Right. I mean, I'm going to also shoot 45% from the free throw line for you as well, just so that's why.
They're going to go to the hack of PhD. We don't want to go to that. We don't want them going. We're going to have to pull you out late in the game, man.
That's fine.
We're
going
to have to pull you out.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Just get us there. Just get us there. Keep us competitive to the end. We go offense, defense, down the stretch.
I'm okay with that.
Now, D Wills couldn't be with us tonight. So, CEO of Resistance Digital, my man, Larry Randall. Larry, you in the house?
Yeah, how you boys doing tonight? Looking forward to talking a little bit of attorney and some MLB. So, you know, let's sit back, relax, and strap it down.
Let's do it. So we're going to jump right in. This portion of the show is called the intro to let you know. This is where we kind of give you a quick rundown of the things we hope to get to tonight, some of the topics that we will touch on in this edition of The Real Sports Guys. First off, we're going to talk about the NCAA tournament. We missed you last week, but we're back. And so we want to just touch base on some of the things. We didn't have a chance to weigh in on some of the different storylines floating around the NCAA tournament. We also want to give an on-air shout-out to the Resistance Digital Solutions Real Sports Guys Challenge, Tournament Challenge winner. So we want to make sure we announce that over the airwaves and get that out into the ether space. And then we're going to hit you with some MLB talk. We're going to touch on some early baseball talk, also give you a quick taste of the Inside the Park. We got Inside the Park going on Wednesday nights. They do a great job of talking baseball. So we're going to do what we can do. But that's just to give you a taste of what they're going to do. So you make sure you check that out if you want some in-depth baseball talk. Make sure you check out the Puzzle Inside the Park, RSG affiliated. Then we're going to get back into our conversation. Talking about the NBA. We're going to talk about the NBA. We got a lot of topics to hit with our NBA conversation. We're going to revisit some of our early season predictions as the season is winding down now. You know, in our NBA preview show, we talked about the Lakers versus the Clippers. Harden as the top three shooting guard. Both PhD and D-Wills were trumpeting the rise of the Golden State Warriors, talking about some of the breakout players that we predicted. And then we're also going to bring it back to right now and talk about the impact of Kobe Bryant's injury on the Lakers, not only as a team this year, but as a franchise going forward. Then we'll give you a quick playoff preview, run you through how we think things are going to go in the East, how we think things are going to go in the West, and then we're going to hit you off with the Resistance Digital Dog of the Week, and then, bada, you have a complete show of the Real Sports Guys. So we're going to jump right in. We had Resistance Digital Solutions, Real Sports Guys, Bracket Challenge, and Louisville pulled it out. Shout out to the Cardinals, Slick Rick Pitino, young Peyton Siva, Russ Diculous, Jorgie Dang, and all the guys in the Cardinal and White representing for the state of Kentucky. Kentucky brings home, the state of Kentucky gets to bring home another championship in college basketball. Last year was the Wildcats, this year is the Cardinals. So Louisville pulls it out. With that winner, also comes a winner of our bracket challenge. And so with that said, I'm going to turn it over to my man, Larry. Larry, you have the winners of the bracket challenge. You want to lay those on us real quick?
Yes, sir. First, I just want to thank everybody who participated in the RSGRDS Bracket Challenge. When you beat the experts, we always say, you got a feather in your cap, because we come with it. And if you can beat us, then that's saying so. So without further ado, I'm going to announce the three winners. Coming in third place was a Mr. Mike Edwards. He's going to be taking home. Yep. Give him a hand. Good job. He's going to be taking home a $25 gift card to Resistance Digital Solutions on his next purchase.
Can't wait.
Our second place winner is David Lucre, and I'm sorry if I mispronounced your last name. Now this man is going to be taking home Marcus' gift. 32-inch Vizio home theater soundbar, and I actually just got it shipped today, so I had to open it up to kind of look at it first. I hope you ain't mad at me.
They are who we thought they were.
And our first place winner, taking home the gold, a Mr. Brian Smith.
You play to win the game.
And he definitely took home the championship. This man is going to be receiving a Lenovo IdeaTab tablet PC. And just a message to all of our winners. I did send private messages via CBS Sports Line. So if you all could please contact me as soon as possible, we can arrange for your gift to be shipped. And thanks again for playing. Hope to see you all next year.
I want winners.
Hey, well, those are the winners. Hey, you don't claim your gift. I will be calling Larry impersonating you to claim your gift. You can send that bad boy to Madison.
He already got beards on that soundbar, so y'all better get it.
I'm telling you. I got a Jones for a soundbar, man. I could use that, man. These flat screens, all the speakers in the back don't sound all that great, man. Yeah.
Yep.
So make sure you pick it up. Again, we appreciate you all participating. You earned it. You beat the experts. You know, it was hard fought. Went down to the end. Came down to that last game for a lot of people. There were some people who had Michigan. You know, D. Wills brought out the Michigan contingent. So the Big Blue was represented heavily in the championship game with quite a few contestants having them as their national champion. But then also a lot of people went with the favorite, Louisville. And so that really decided, you know, that game really had a huge impact on who won. And who got into the money, as we say, in that tournament challenge. So thinking about the game itself, as we look back, you know, this is a great game. It was one of the most entertaining tournament games that I've been able to, and I've had the pleasure of watching during my short time at following sports. You know, that game was definitely going to go, you know, in my top 10. Where I put it, you know, I have to sit down and really assess it. But I'd say that's an instant classic as far as entertainment value. A lot of amazing plays. The level of athleticism of both teams was just excellent. You know, Louisville, a little bit more veteran squad, but still just as athletic. Hey, honestly, that's what it comes down to a lot of times in these particular games is the athleticism of having players who can make plays. Now, in this game, I mean, there are a lot of guys who can make plays. Who were some of the guys that stood out as far as being playmakers in this particular setting, in this particular game, in your eyes, PhD?
Well, I like Hancock. Luke Hancock for the Louisville, not Louisville, like I've said all my life, Louisville. Cardinal. I mean, my man came out and was just they went on that run to end the first half. And yes, I'm from Michigan. I went away from home, but they pulled me back in. I was all in. I was watching. I had my maize and blue Desmond Howard Nike jersey on from high school. It fits a little bit tighter than it did in high school. I'll just say that. And so Hancock, man, his shooting, you know, I thought in the first half, Michigan got that big lead, and he sat Burke down. I mean, it's easy to armchair quarterback it, but I wish he would have brought Burke back a little bit earlier, even though he had the two fouls. And to me, like you said, it was an exciting game. You had everything you wanted. A big lead, people come back. You know, the kids were in it. You had these storylines of the Fab Five. That's something we got to talk about. The Fab Five was all there. You know, and then you got the kid Ware for Louisville. Everybody's kind of playing for him. You know, kid that had that nasty broken leg the week before. And you had all these storylines. You had the history there. You had Denny Crum chilling. And he won two championships in the 80s. And, you know, you have Steve Fisher there. It was just exciting. And Atlanta did it upright. And I was really kind of skeptical of how they were going to pull it out in the big Georgia Dome. But I know a handful of people that were there. A few people I knew were covering the game. And they said it wasn't as bad as you think to have a basketball stadium and a basketball game in a football stadium and not have it closed off. Because, you know, they had 60,000, 70,000 people there. So overall, it was a heck of a game. I enjoyed watching it. I watched every second of it. It was great.
Yeah, and you know, some of the guys you mentioned, Luke Hancock, wow, the kid's got ice water in his veins. I mean, he balled so hard, as the saying goes. He just played an amazing game. When you think about some of the impact that the coaching had, you talked about kind of armchair coaching a little bit. Larry, how did you think it played out between the chess match between the two coaches? When you think about Beeline, you think about Pitino. You know, Pitino has a history of being a micromanager, as D. Wills likes to put it, putting a stranglehold on his players and really not letting them breathe a whole lot. How did you think Pitino and Beeline managed this particular game as far as letting their guys play and be loose and free?
Well, I don't think either coach did anything different than what they're normally doing. If you notice, Pitino actually sat Smith to start the second half. I mean, there was a lot of moves that you could question in this game, but the pace of the game was so fast that, you know, you really can't even question what they did. You know, people were giving a lot of flack about Beeline sitting Trey for – you know, basically, I think 7 or 8 minutes to go in the first half. But then you got this kid, Spike, who comes in and just lights it up. So, I mean, I don't see how you can question either coach's tactics during the game. There wasn't much you can do to stop the runs that happened either. I mean, they tried to take timeouts when I pretty much was telling the TV, hey, you need to take a timeout here, coach, and they did it. I don't really see how either one could be criticized for their coaching in this game. There was a few matchup issues, and some of the toughness down low seemed to fade away from Michigan towards the end of the game, but it all pretty much boiled down to the players and a few suspect calls from the officials. So, I mean, I enjoyed, you know, the coaches. There really wasn't much to coach in this game. It was about the guys going out there and showing their talents. And, I mean, to me, that was – I mean, besides the Memphis-Kansas game, that was probably my second favorite final game that I can remember.
Wow. I will say that Beeline disappointed me down the stretch. And I can't say – I don't think he lost the game, but I don't think he gave his team enough chances – during that last minute. And considering what they've done in the last few minutes of a couple of tournament games, you know, when you think about the Kansas game, when you think about the Syracuse game, in the Kansas game especially when they were down, he was masterful in that, giving his team opportunities. And one of the things that irked me was he had Burke out there and he had McGarry out there with four fouls, and you had to give a foul. You had to give a foul. But 40% of your roster, 2 out of 5 guys on the court, couldn't give the foul. And that cost them about 15 seconds inside of a minute. That cost them about 15 seconds. And then he took McGarry out, but he left Burke in, who still had 4. And they had to foul again. So to me, that was a critical, critical mistake, man. And it probably only cost them 20, 25 seconds, but, you know, I mean, that's a possession or two when you foul in. And we've seen Michigan dig themselves out of holes before in the tournament.
Yeah. I mean, there were times where I think you definitely felt, you know, the pace of the game. And this is just from my perspective. It got a little too fast for at the end there for what. And I think it was because it was such a smoothly played game, and the game had such flow to it that there weren't a lot of stoppages. And I think Beeline kind of got lost in the shuffle and lost in the flow of things as far as making sure he had his guys on the floor knowing what they needed to do in those special situations. And as a coach, that's where you make your money, is being able to play. I mean, as you said, Larry, most of the game, the players got to play. Those last couple of seconds, you get in those situations, you have to have taught your players what to do in those situations, because in the end, they got to be able to execute with an entire arena of people going nuts. And Louisville executed a little bit better down the stretch than the guys in Michigan. Looking at both of these teams, as we go forward, who do you think has the better chance of returning to the Final Four next year? Larry, who do you think has the better chance of getting back to the Final Four next year?
Oh, I mean, it got to be Michigan, I would say. I mean, I know they're going to lose some guys to the league, but, you know, if you're going to get that kind of production out of Spike, if McGarry comes back, which I haven't seen anywhere where they said he's leaving, you got GR3, because he was a freshman this year, I think, right?
Yep.
I don't really see a huge drop off at Michigan. Conversely, I don't see anybody staying at Louisville. I mean, even Dang is like, I don't even really think he's an NBA player, but I think he might be coming out. So,
yeah.
I don't see Louisville doing much in the tournament next year, even if they make it. With the moves that are happening to that conference, you know, maybe it's possible, but I don't see them putting the kind of production up that they did this year, especially defensively. You know, they made their bones on defense this past year, and when you lose the guys that they're going to lose, I don't really see them putting up any offense to compensate. So I would have to go with Michigan.
Yeah, right now, as of right now, as far as guys who are leaving, Craig Burke is out at Michigan. He's the only for sure out right now. Tim Hardaway Jr. still weighing his options. McGarry still weighing his options. And Glenn Robinson III is also weighing his options. One thing with Glenn Robinson III is that they never they refer to Glenn Robinson as Glenn Robinson Sr. Big Dog. They call him Big Dog Sr. Where's Junior? the big dog for the George Foreman, I'm just asking.
It's my daughter, George.
Right. Did he pull a George Foreman and name a couple of kids Glenn? I like Michigan to get back out of these two teams. You know, Gorgie Dane, he's a shot blocker. He's also old, so you got to go when you got to go. He's 23, so he's got to get on the clock as quick as he can as far as that NBA rookie scale goes before that athleticism starts to dry up. But it'll be interesting to see. You know, the chances of both these teams getting back are what they are. I mean, where was Kentucky this year? You know, they lost to Robert Morris in NIT. So nothing's promised. Especially in this day and age of the one and done, anything can happen. Anybody can be beat, to quote my man Bart Scott. So we will see about those two teams and how they pan out. Hats off to Rick Pitino for getting the championship, first coach to win it at two different schools. PAG, does this change where Pitino sits in your eyes amongst when you start to think about him kind of in the context of great college coaches? Does this change where he stands?
I think it does, because a lot of people will give him credit for three championships. You know, now I'm not agreeing with the math, and I'm not even going to get into the math and counting championships with you. You know, our longtime listeners will know, they will know exactly where I'm coming from there. But I think some people will credit Pitino with the championship Tubby Smith won. in terms of those were his guys, you know. So I think in a lot of ways you have to give Patino credit. There's a whole lot of coaches that have won one championship. The list gets a lot smaller. The room gets more exclusive when you have won multiple chips. And so with Patino, I think that you have to give him credit. I think now he's going to be a top 10 coach historically. I think in some ways for me, the most impressive thing he did was something that didn't even lead to a championship. It's when he led that Providence team to the Final Four with Billy Donovan. To me, that may have been his best coaching performance ever.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you. You know, I think Patino, it definitely changes how I see Patino. Again, I have to really sit down and think about it to give you exactly where he fits in as far as how I view, you know, where coaches, my list of great coaches. But he, I mean, to do it in two places, to build up two programs. And as you said, with my funny math, you know, we might have to talk about how many championships he actually has. But Patino did a great job of bringing his squad together, getting those guys to commit. Those dudes played so hard in that game. That's what made it fun to watch. You know, Peyton Siva, he played that like it was going to be his last game in college. You know, he played that game like it was going to be his last game at Louisville. You know, those guys balled like it was their last time representing that university, and that's a testament to the coach. You know, those guys had the motivation, they had a game plan. He put them in position to go out and play hard, and they did. So, you know, hats off to him. And I think you definitely have to look at him a little bit differently, especially after those fireworks went off and he about ran under the scores table. I don't know if you caught that, but just Google Rick Pitino versus the Glitter Cannon. He took an L that night, but at least it wasn't in Michigan. You're listening to the Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com, RIC Renegade Radio, brought to you by Resistance Digital Solutions. Now, fellas, we're going to shift gears a little bit, talk some baseball. You know, we don't get into baseball a lot because we let RJ and the crew really handle that because they do such an amazing job of it. And if you haven't caught them, make sure you catch them on Wednesday nights inside the park, 8 o'clock. Make sure you catch them. They have a great show. Those guys have amazing chemistry, and they know their stuff. So make sure you check it out. We got a few baseball topics we're going to hit real quick. I'm going to talk to my man, LR, because this is kind of his wheelhouse. You know, early season impressions. Who individual players, teams, have impressed you early on this season, LR?
Well, I think the first person, I mean, it's kind of hard not to be impressed by this guy, and that's one Chris Davis of the Baltimore Orioles. If you've seen this guy's stat lines, it's been pretty amazing over the first 2 weeks. I mean, right now he has 19 RBI, 6 home runs, and batting .366. Now, normally I kind of look at these things from the fantasy perspective, and this guy is amazing, and he came out of nowhere. I mean, this guy was virtually a, you know, 10th to 14th round draft pick in a typical fantasy draft, and he's putting up number one pick numbers. So that's been pretty impressive so far. One of the things that kind of disturbed me this year was the way MLB handled the Zach Greinke, Carlos Quinn, as they say in Chicago, brawl or altercation that they had. Now, this guy Greinke, he's got a broken collarbone, so he's going to be out for a while. And they only gave Carlos Quinn 8 games for something like that. You know, I'm not a big fan of fighting in baseball because it's not a real physical sport. But when you got a guy like Carlos Quinton, who is a certifiable lunatic, I mean, this dude talks to his bat. You know, you got to set it
right.
You know, no, this dude crazy. He talks to his bat. He broke his wrist. when he punched his bat one time after he struck out or something like that. I mean, this dude is crazy.
Yeah, who punches a bat?
Who punches a bat? Thank you. And not only that, he broke his wrist when he did it. So, you know, this was a perfect opportunity to nip it in the bud, and they only gave him 8 games. I got a real problem with that. You cost the Dodgers a real cog in their lineup, and I'm not saying it because he's on my fantasy, because Greinke's on my fantasy team. He's not.
Yes, you are. It's all about your fantasy team. Indian is always all about your fantasy team.
No. He ain't on my team. But I just disagree with the MLB ruling on that whole situation.
So what do you think was inappropriate?
Well, to me, a 20-game suspension would have been more in the realm of, you know, what it should have been. I mean, it's pretty obvious that the guy wasn't throwing at you. It ain't like you guys got a history. And on top of that, Carlos Quinton, he crowds the plate, and he wears, like, 3 pieces of body armor on his elbow, his arm, and his leg. So, seriously, you're trying to get hit, pretty much. And if you get plunked on the arm, then you really shouldn't be going at a pitcher saying he did it intentionally, okay? And it's Zach Greinke. I mean, the history on Zach Greinke is he's soft. He's a you-know-what. So, really, if I equated it to a bully going and beating up the nerd. You know what I mean? It's like you're going to beat your chest and say, oh, well, I got to go after this guy because he's coming after me, like, nah, that's schoolyard garbage. And you know, I was surprised that somebody from the Dodgers didn't like try to beat him up after the game. And apparently, it kind of happened. Like Matt Kent went after him like after the game. You know, so I was glad somebody stuck up for their pitchers. But you know, it shouldn't happen. It's baseball. I mean, come on. You plunk. If your guy gets plunked, then your pitcher is supposed to come back and plunk their guy. And then that's supposed to be it. That's how it's supposed to work.
Is that one of them unwritten rules, man?
That's why I can't mess with baseball, man.
Man, most people just write rules down, post them in a public place. The idea is that you follow them. The idea is that you follow the rules. I can't follow rules I don't know.
Well, see, the thing is, it is one of those unwritten rules in baseball. You know, you plunk my guy, I'm going to plunk your guy. And that's it. You know, so... You know, I was really just hoping that he came out there and got beat up like Nolan Ryan beat up Robin Ventura when Robin Ventura decided to charge him out. Nolan Ryan came out and gave him some uppercuts. That was hilarious.
Yeah, man.
But it didn't
happen. That was a classic.
Yeah, that was a classic. So whenever the mound gets charged, that's what I'm rooting for. You know, like Kyle Farnsworth, like a guy charged him and he tackled him before he even got out there. So.
My favorite mound altercation was when the Yankees and the Red Sox got into it, and Pedro Martinez, old lady, Don Zimmer.
I forgot about that one. That was a good one too. And he like grabbed him by the head and threw him down.
Yeah. Like he grabbed him by his old man ears and just rolled him, over real quick, like, just spun him around by the ear. And Zimmer lay there. When Zimmer hit the ground, Zimmer realized he was 80. Like, yeah, I shouldn't have done that.
Like, both teams play hard, my man. Both teams play hard. Both teams play hard. Both teams play hard. God bless and good night.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one, too. I forgot about that one.
Yeah, that's my favorite, man. That's my favorite. That was comical. Yeah. PhD, what are some of your things that impressed you early this season in baseball?
Wow, well, the Braves being 11-1, I believe, so far going into play today was pretty impressive. Upton has been their main cog. I think he's leading the National League in home runs. But don't count out, you know, only 13 games in, but the Dodgers, The Dodgers are around 500. Gonzalez and Crawford are both tearing the cover off the ball, right around 400. I mean, if these guys mess around and both hit over 300, put up their normal power numbers, then you got Clayton Kershaw. The Dodgers are going to be tough. They're going to be tough to beat.
Okay. So, and the Dodgers, man, it seems like there's been a shift. And, you know, I'm not a major baseball fan. I don't claim to be. But just as a casual fan, it seems like there has been a shift in Major League Baseball, where for the last decade to 15 years or so, it's been real Northeast-centric with the Yankees and the Red Sox kind of running things. Now it's kind of moving south a little bit in the National League with the Nationals, putting together a good squad of young players. They have a nice team out there in D.C. And then the Braves are back in business. You know, it's like the mid-90s all over again with the Braves running things. Doing it in a different way with the bats instead of an unbelievable pitching staff. And then the West Coast is really representing. When you talk about the Dodgers becoming almost a new version of the Yankees, you know, and really, really trying to buy championships and really invest it in their roster in a way that usually only the Red Sox and Yankees and Angels do. So how do you feel? Do you guys, you know, as more kind of dug-in baseball cats, you guys feel like there's been kind of a shift of power and there's some new players, some new stories for people to kind of latch on to and follow? I'm going to throw that to you, PhD. Do you feel like things have shifted away from the Yankees and Red Sox and kind of moved in a different direction? Is that good?
Well, I think Magic Johnson has had the same effect that Jay-Z had on the Nets. Magic has had this on the Dodgers. All of a sudden, you know, perceived or real, people look at the Dodgers differently. And then next, what they did is they went out and got some, I mean, they opened up their checkbook. They opened up their checkbook, got some big-time players. They made some moves to make the playoffs around the trade deadline last year. It didn't work out for them, but they still have most of those guys moving forward. So I think that there is a lot to be excited about if you're a Dodger fan. And when you got casual fans, they will link Magic Johnson to the Dodgers now. And so that's something to really think about in terms of teams that you want to follow and see how successful they'll be. So, I mean, baseball has struggled over the last 15 or 20 years to pull in non-baseball fans to the game during the regular season. Now, the playoffs are the playoffs. They will pull in, you know, a decent chunk of non-baseball fans or people like me who grew up playing baseball, Legion baseball, 80, 90 games a summer. You know, I might watch 5 regular season games. But the playoffs, I might watch every pitch of the playoffs. Those people they're going to keep. But I think stories like the Dodgers are starting to be more relevant where they might be able to pick up some of these non-purist, non-baseball people to start following the game more.
Good. And Larry, what do you think about the kind of the shift that's happened a little bit? What do you think about it? Is it good for the game?
I definitely think it's good for the game. You know, I don't necessarily equate the shift to Magic Johnson specifically. A lot of the shift has to do with the Yankees and the Red Sox just not having the star power anymore. They're having a lot of roster turnover. And I think it goes a bit under the radar that no one's talking about the loss of George Steinbrenner. I mean, he was the cornerstone of the Yankees. And now with Jeter being out and A-Rod being out and not really having a real, you know, stud veteran. I mean, Mariano's a stud, but, you know, he's a closer. You can't really call your closer the stud of the team. So they don't really have, I guess, an identity. I don't know if that's necessarily good for baseball, but, I mean, I'm glad that baseball is definitely more diverse now. I got sick of the Yankees buying championships every year. I was ready for a change personally. So I do think it's good that things are kind of evening out from coast to coast. But I still think there's a lot of issues with baseball. You know, the difference between the good teams and the bad teams is huge. Whereas in the NFL, you know, the 1 year could change everything for you. In baseball, it don't happen like that. When you're bad for a long time. I mean, look at how bad the Pirates been the last 15 or 20 years. So they need to change something to make teams more competitive.
Yeah, you listen to the Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com, RSG Renegade Radio, brought to you by Resistance Digital Solutions. We're talking MLB baseball. If you want more baseball talk, you want more of the diamond talk, make sure you check out the fellows on Inside the Park, RSG affiliates, tomorrow, Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Central Time. Check them out. They got a great show. A great show. They will have you cracking up, but they'll also learn you something. You also get a little learning on. They'll drop some knowledge on you. So it's a great show. Make sure you check it out. We're going to keep it moving here. We're going to jump into talking about the NBA, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, as we like to call it around these parts. Now, the season is wrapped up. The playoffs are pretty much set. There's still one playoff spot to be decided, to be determined. The Los Angeles Lakers are fighting for their lives to get an eight seed. They are in a fight to the death with the Utah Jazz. Loser goes to the lottery, winner gets the Oklahoma City Thunder and probably beat in five games. So there's not really much to win except for saying you made the playoffs. But everything else is set. The Miami Heat are the number one seed in the playoffs overall. They ran roughshod over the Eastern Conference. A flurry from the New York Knicks at the end of the season, in particular the one Carmelo Anthony, lighting the league on fire, bringing out that West Baltimore funk and dropping 36-plus to close it out and win a scoring title. They're coming in at the two seed in the East. Out west, you got storylines like Oklahoma City surging at the end to take the one seed from the Spurs. Newcomers, some new blood in the west with Houston and the Golden State Warriors jumping into the playoff conversation. So there's a lot to talk about. We're going to revisit some of our early season predictions and some of the storylines that we've been following all season. First off, you know, I want to talk about this, you know, because we may have to put out an APB, or at least a missing persons report on Justin Page.
Let me step in. We just booked Justin to come in on the 30th. So 2 weeks from now, you and Justin will have your time together. You can tell him for an hour and a half, I told you so.
Can't wait.
Can't wait.
For a long time listeners out there, you know we love to be right around here. we're definitely passionate about our opinions. We definitely all have our perspectives and have our unique ways in which we see sports and we see the world of the sports. And so when things go right and you hit one on the head, you gotta crow a little bit. You gotta puff your chest out and walk around because, you know, you might be wrong on the next one. You know, so this first one is the Lakers versus the Clippers. Now me and Justin had this one out. Right, that was Justin's pick. Me and Justin hashed this one out in our NBA preseason preview show. He had the Lakers all the way. The bet was, you know, I shaved my beard and goatee. He shaved his head. I don't have anything to shave on top. I'm bald. But I do have a nice beard and goatee. So I was going to shave all of that off, and he's going to shave his head. And, you know, April 30th will be the first we've heard of since things got to go awry a little bit. Cat won't even tweet at us no more.
Man, you should videotape him shaving his head.
Oh, he got a YouTube. He got to put a YouTube clip up. That was the bet.
Yeah.
We had to YouTube ourselves shaving the head, or shaving whatever we was gonna shave. So, I had the Clippers. The bet was that the Clippers would have a better season than the Los Angeles Lakers. You know, I don't want to count my eggs before they hatch, but I'm saying it's a lot of chickens walking around here clucking. You know what I mean? So the Clippers have had the better season. First, I want to bring on man PhD. What went right with the Clippers? You know, things seem to come together. They've set a franchise record for wins this year. They've actually played decent defense. What's going right for this team so far this season to get them in the position where right now I think they're sitting at the 3 or 4 seed. Those spots are still kind of up for grabs between Denver, the Clippers, and the Grizzlies. They're all about a game apart. So anything can happen over these last couple of days, and you can see a slight shuffle in who those teams are playing in the first round. But right now the Clippers are sitting at 4. So 4 seed, franchise record, 50-plus wins. You know, this is the Clippers. And if you grew up in the 90s, if you grew up on 90s basketball, 80s basketball, early 2000s basketball, the Clippers sucked. They always sucked. So what's different now, EAV?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's tough to think of the Clippers being better than the Lakers for even a game. And they put their banner up in Staples Center earlier this week or last week, and it just didn't seem right. It didn't feel right. I was pinching myself, but the Clippers have done it. But they seem determined that there's so much more left. To me, it's the balance that they offer. Jamal Crawford has brought something new to this team, which they didn't have before. And Chauncey Billups hasn't played much due to injury. He's only played 20 ball games, but they're starting to ramp him up. And I tell you what, you bring him in, you've got Crawford, you've got Barnes playing very solid. I think this is a team that can make some noise in the playoffs. I actually see them going to the finals because of Chris Paul. I believe Chris Paul, more than anybody else in this league outside of LeBron James, elevates the game of his peers. So I think we've all criticized Vinny a lot, the coach. That's your coach.
Vinny the Black.
That's
Vinny
right.
The Black.
But I think had he played his guys more and tightened up his rotation more, perhaps they would have been in the 3 seed. But the benefit of him stretching out his minutes as much as he did, I mean, Chris Paul is averaging a career low of 33 minutes a game. He's going to be able to stretch those guys out, and I think he's going to tighten the rotation, and Chris Paul is going to be ready to do his thing. The question now is Blake Griffin. The question now is how do you work in Bledsoe, Billups, Odom. Odom's been a guy that's been up and down, but more up of late. How do you blend in all these guys and cut down a rotation while still keeping, you know, a cohesive unit? I think that's the challenge. But if they can get that figured out, man, I like them.
Okay, so you in on the Clips. And I don't know if I like them as much as you, but I'm down on your analysis of CP3. This is the one guy who I think, you know, people kind of overlook because he's not putting up monster numbers. And you pointed it out very astutely on your part. He's not playing monster minutes. You know, he's not playing the usual 36, 37, 38 minutes that he's used to playing and that he has played throughout his career. I would not want to play that team. Defensively, you know, statistically, they're as good as the Heat, slightly better by the statistics. This is a team that, you know, with CP3 orchestrating that offense and they're playing surprisingly good defense, That's going to be a team that's a tough out. The wild card is Blake Griffin. This is an opportunity for him to either put himself in the category of cats with a lot to prove, or he could thrust himself into the conversation as one of the best players in the league with a good showing in these playoffs. If he comes out on his big stage and plays well, it'll do a whole lot for his profile. And it's something that he needs to do. He has to step out of just being a highlight guy, and he has to start to produce. And the playoffs is a great time to do that, a great time to show everybody what you're about. So that's what's going right. That's what went right with the Clippers because, you know, they're on point. L.A. is the city of dreams. The Lakers. The Lake Show. Larry, what happened? Things went awry. Somewhere wrong. Somewhere, something happened along the way. As Earth, Wind, and Fire once said.
Well, I think the Lakers were just missing some fortitude.
They got Kobe.
Well, I was going to make an exception. Kobe.
He got fortitude?
Yes. And he's the only one on that team that it actually got the Nads to play 48 minutes and put up 47 points in those 48 minutes.
Right.
As soon as he went down, it was over. If I was the Lakers, I'd be looking at lottery right now. What's the point? I mean, to go to the playoffs to get stomped and not get in the lottery? I mean, I'm not saying that there is good talent in the draft this coming up year, but a pick is a pick is a pick in the lottery.
Right.
So
right.
I think it would behoove management to kind of just, let's not make the playoffs this year, boys, and go do whatever you got to do just to play in that game. I'm having a hard time believing that the Clippers are actually more popular in L.A. than the Lakers are right now. And I think they are. I mean, I can't tell you firsthand. I don't really know a lot of Laker fans, but most of them are hiding under rocks right now and don't want to say anything. So I would probably say that the Clippers are the more popular team in L.A. right now. And that's asinine because normally it goes, you know, the Lakers and then UCLA, then USC. And then maybe the Clippers.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? In Long Beach State.
Long Beach State, yeah.
Fresh out.
UC Santa Barbara.
There you go. Yeah, you the know, Banana
Compton Dominguez.
There you go, the high schools, yeah. But, I mean, this is what happened when, you know, you suck for so long. I mean, you get talent. I mean, after a while, I mean, this type of thing should happen if you had been making the correct pick. So I think finally it's starting to come. It's a lot like the whole Yankees and the Dodgers thing. You know, you got the Lakers who were kind of aging and they had a few issues. And then the young upstart team is starting to prove that they can compete and they're starting to put everything together. So I'm not surprised that the Lakers are struggling. It didn't help that Dwight Howard, you know, just decided that he wanted to play from February to pretty much now. What happened from February to, you know, going back to September? I know you were quote unquote hurt.
In Dwight's defense, I can't stand Dwight Howard, but I think he was hurt, and I don't think he was himself, and I think he's finally starting to get back into shape. But too little, too late. In my book, if you was hurt, you should have sat down. You was out there.
Yeah,
you got to make it happen.
And then Steve Nash was in and out of the lineup, so they couldn't do what D'Antoni wanted them to do.
He's 75 years old. What did you expect?
And then you got Blake thinking that he's Kobe, so he's putting up, you know, 20 shots a game. You got Gasol, who was hurt, who actually I like Gasol, but I just think he's kind of soft, to be honest. And
he's best player on the team.
and then, you know, we got our favorite crazy of them all, Meta World Peace. So you never know what you're going to get out of him. So, it's you know, as a as Keith Jackson say, it's a recipe for disaster. And that's pretty much what it was. It was a recipe for disaster, and I'm not surprised that the Lakers are in the miserable state that they're in. Don't make the playoffs. It would behoove you guys not to make the playoffs.
Yeah, see, and I think the reason that they want to make the playoffs is that I think, and I'm not 100% sure, I'm trying to look it up right now, if they don't make the playoffs and they're in the lottery, Phoenix actually gets their first round pick because of the Steve Nash trade, which is a double whammy.
Oh, dang. So maybe they do want to make the playoffs.
Yeah. You gotta stay relevant. And things are bad in LA, man, and you know, I felt from the beginning that this wasn't a well put together squad. I felt like they would do much better than this, though. I won't pretend like I saw them failing this miserably. And not that they failed, but when you have, you know, four Hall of Famers, two of which are still in their prime, and Gasol and Howard, I just don't quite. I don't know how you wind up with.
You can't underestimate the coaching change, though, because when you don't play defense, this is what happens. I mean, to be honest, the Lakers weren't world beaters on offense, even in their heyday. I mean, they had a solid offense, but they were really good defensively. And now,
yeah,
they can't stop nobody. I mean, it's bad. So, but that's what you get when you hire a defensive coach, or I'm sorry, an offensive coach, who don't care about defense. So, you know, unless you got the firepower to be able to outscore people and out-athletic other teams, then you're going to be in this situation where you're going to be mediocre. And that's what they are. The Lakers are mediocre.
Now, earlier, Larry, you had the insight talking about, and I want to bring PAC back in, I want to get his insights on this. You had the insight, though, of talking about the impact of the loss of George Steinbrenner on the Yankees organization. Dr. Jerry Buss passed this season. With Kobe getting hurt, you know, that's their franchise. That's the franchise cornerstone. PhD, how do you see Kobe's injury, the passing of Jerry Buss, how do you see that playing out as far as where this Lakers organization goes? Because there seems to be some chinks in the armor. When you look at this roster, when you look at the whole fiasco with firing Mike Brown at the beginning of the season, those are things that the common sports guy can tell you, the real sports guy can tell you, it wasn't going to go down. I mean, I think to a man, we were all not in favor of the coaching change when it was made because,
right,
of the, because of some of the points that Larry made, is that you're basically swinging the pendulum from a real hard defensive coach, from a real defensive heavy coach, and Mike Brown, you're swinging it all the way the other way to a guy who's all offense, and Mike D'Antoni, when ultimately there was only one guy out there who was going to make this work and who would actually be an upgrade, and that was Phil. And they didn't get Phil. So how do you see this playing out? Because there seems to be some chinks in armor, and there seems to be some things that aren't going the right way for this organization right now. And they're kind of, whether they want to admit it or not, they're at a turning point with this particular Kobe era in L.A. With his injury, Dwight's coming up this summer. They got to figure out what they're going to do with him. They got to figure out what they're going to do with Powell. This is going to make or break Kobe's last couple of years in purple and gold. How do you see this having? How do you see them fixing this, or what kind of impact do you think this whole Kobe injury is going to have on the Lakers going forward?
Well, first of all, so Kobe and Dwight are fine. They are, they're in love with each other. I mean, the chemistry's fine. I don't know if you saw, but Kobe tweeted that Dwight Howard came and saw him twice in the first 24 hours he was in the hospital. So, and even Kobe said that's love. So everything will be fine in L.A. based off that.
That's it.
Yep.
You know Kobe Bryant making $30 million next year, right?
So that may have been my worst joke ever, and that's saying a lot. Right. All I heard was crickets. Perhaps you're driving right now, shaking your head to crickets. But man, I don't get their moves. Letting my Mike Brown go a couple of games into the season just showed how the leadership has these huge antenna ears. And who knows? Like, who knows what was happening behind the scenes? But it's a mess. It is a mess. I don't know what's going on out there.
I don't even want to talk about it no more.
Yeah.
See, I'm good. I can't even go there. Well, what I'll say is that, you know, again, there are lots and lots of issues with that particular roster. I mean, they're old on the bench. You got to move Gasol and try and get some pieces for him. They're going to basically have to overhaul the whole situation this summer and try and come back and rebuild around Kobe and Dwight. Steve Nash is an ancillary piece at this point. He's not going to bring a whole lot to the table as far as, you know, being a dynamic force that he was during his time in Phoenix. He's not anywhere close to that right now. He can barely stay on the court without that Phoenix training staff, which somebody might want to look into that. You know what I mean? Because cats leave Phoenix and all of a sudden they become injury prone and they can't play no more. I'm just saying, man. what they doing out there in Phoenix, man? Cats exit the building and they don't look the same.
Yeah, Grant Hill should have stayed out there.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Grant Hill.
Yeah, man, I don't know if they got some special found a youth with some special water or, you know, or what. But they're doing something out there that everybody else ain't doing because they get old cats and they make them feel good. I mean, look at Jermaine O'Neal. I'm just saying. Cat resurrected himself. You know, he's so hyped up. He goes in the last second shots.
Yeah, what? That was so boneheaded. Goodness.
Man, he just
you
ain't jumped that high.
You ain't jumped in 3 years. Yeah, you ain't jumped in 3 years.
You know what I'm saying? He lost his mind. That's all that is, man. Cat out there feeling like Tigger from Winnie the Pooh, just bouncing all over the place. Yeah, I'm gonna get this one. Yeah, that definitely was a boneheaded play. You expect an Andre Blatch or a Ricky Davis or JaVale McGee or somebody like that to pull one of those, but nah, it was Jermaine O'Neal. a young she would do something like that, but. I mean, the Lakers are what they are at this point. They're eighth seed. They're probably a first-round exit. But that's what happens when Kobe's the best player. I'm just saying. I'm going to leave it at that. We're not even going to go there. I'm going to say that one for Justin. I'm going to say that conversation with Justin. A couple other topics that we want to hit on when we talk about the NBA and this season that is winding down, James Harden. James Harden has thrust himself into the conversation as one of the best two guards in the league. Not only one of the best two guards in the league, one of the top 10 to 15 players in the league today, going from being a sixth man on the Oklahoma City Thunder, getting traded at the very beginning of the season, people wondering whether or not he could carry a squad, and all he did was go out and average 25.9 points a game, 5.9 assists a game, and 4.8 rebounds a game, by shooting 44%, 37% from three, 85% from the line, getting to the free throw line 10 times a game. Wowzers. So, again, I was right. Justin was wrong. Justin said I shouldn't have had James Harden in my top 20 because we were doing the top 20 players in the league, or top 25, and I think I had Harden at like 22. Again, even I was underrating the cat, but I knew he was one of the top three shooting guards in the league behind D-Wade and Kobe. And I think he still has a little bit to go.
I was very skeptical as well. I think I even brought up a Ginobili reference. I was very, very skeptical.
Yeah, I mean, you guys was hitting me with Joe Johnsons and Andre Iguodala's and you know, y'all was really reaching back into, you know, y'all repertoire to just drop names that was better than Harden. So I appreciate you owning that. We'll see if Justin is as gracious or if he tries to throw us a curveball and try to make up some garbage. But you're wrong, bro. You're wrong. You're playing yourself, partner. But, you know, James Harden is one of those players. And there are a couple others who have taken this season as an opportunity to make what we call the leap, to make that move into becoming one of the best players in the league. A couple other guys, a guy that PhD is in your hometown right now, has really turned the corner, Kyrie Irving. Can you tell us a little bit about young Kyrie? That's a guy you had on your radar as a guy who was going to have a breakout year. He has done that much and more. What do you see for him? Talk about some of the things that you saw from him this season and where you think he can take his game next.
He's excellent. They look earlier in the season, I liked the way that he, Waiters, and Varejao were playing together. It wasn't working out to be many W's, but you saw something there where they had a pretty good core. Now, Varejao went down. I think at the time he was averaging like a double-double, 14-14, 15-15, something like that. And since then, you know, Irving got injured and Waiters and vice versa. The thing I like about Irving is he's shown the ability to take over games. Inside, outside, getting to the rack, making his teammates better. He just looked like he's on the cusp of becoming one of the premier point guards of the league. He's right there at that. And I think this year he busts from the third tier to the second tier. And you can see this progression where he might be on this first tier in another year or two. So I mean, like there were a couple of games where he took over in the fourth quarter. I remember when they played against the Lakers, and he scored almost 40 points or right around there. I saw some points at the end of the game where it was like he was the best player on the court, and that court also had some pretty good players on there as well. So I love his potential.
Was Kyle out there? Was Kyle out there?
So moving on.
He ain't better than no Pau Gasol.
I also like what he did during the All-Star game, too. The All-Star weekend. So, I think that was his coming out party.
So you said that he's busted into that second tier. Who's in your first tier at that position, at the point guard position? Who's in that tier that he needs to crack into so that the listeners out there get a frame of the stratosphere that he's approaching?
Chris Paul, Rondo, Russ Brook, Derrick Rose, Tony Parker, D. Williams, he's teetering, but I'm still giving the benefit of the doubt. I'm not sure if I'm forgetting anybody, but those would be my top five or six point guards.
Okay, I think that was pretty solid. I think that was pretty solid right there. So Kyrie Irving is one. Another guy who you in particular and D. Wills brought up was Steph Curry. Again, this is a kid who has struggled to be healthy during the past couple years. People all knew he had a lot of potential as a shooter. He was sharing the backcourt with Monte Ellis. Monte Ellis got moved over the summer, kind of opening the door for Curry to kind of take the reins of the team as a point guard. And, again, all he did was shoot 45% from the field, 45% from three, 90% from the free throw line, give you 7 assists and 23 points a game. I mean, just really came into his own. I felt like he got horribly snubbed. I think that was one of your snubs. When we did our All-Star show.
Yeah.
He got horribly snubbed from the All-Star team. Just an amazing. Do you think he's the best shooter in the league right now?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he does more. That's the thing where I did not see it translating from Davidson to here to the NBA. I didn't see that part translating. But this dude, I mean, he'll pull up on you. He's getting to the point where he can drive to the rack. I mean, he is a dead-eye shooter. He puts you in the mind, and I'm just getting excited talking about it. But he puts you in the mind of...
We can tell.
A Mitch Richmond, a Glenn Rice. I mean, guys that... If he wanted to be a catch-and-shoot guy... I mean, he would just be Steve Kerr times 20. But he does so much more. And the thing is they can move him off the ball. Jared Jack is getting minutes down the stretch because they like to move him off the ball and forget about it. I mean, if you give this guy enough room to stretch his arms, it's a good look for him.
Yeah, I mean, he has really translated. His game has translated in the league in ways that I did not anticipate. You knew, as you said, you knew he could shoot. But everything else that he's doing on top of shooting is just unbelievable. He's giving you 7 assists a night, and he's shooting the ball better from three-point than he is from anywhere. His three-point percentage is higher than his shooting percentage. And his shooting percentage isn't bad. It's 45, which is good for a guard, you know, and then he'd give you 90% from the line. He is really taking that step, and he's one of the main reasons that Golden State is where they are this year, coming into the playoffs as a 6 seed. They'll probably be going up against the Denver Nuggets. That's going to be an exciting series. The West is going to be loaded with some really good matchups, top to bottom. I'm excited for the playoffs. It's going to be an opportunity for Steph Curry to really showcase how far he's come. I got one more breakout player this season. Brooke Lopez. Mm. Mm. Brooke Lopez. Mm. 24-year-old center. Let me read it off for you. 19.4 points a game, leading the league at his position in scoring. No center scores more than Brooke Lopez. Yeah, he only gets you 7 rebounds a game, which the kid just got, he got to figure that out. I'm sorry. That's unacceptable. You just got to figure that out, my man. You just got to work. You just got to
average that?
Say what?
I said, don't guards average that per game?
Man, LeBron averages more than that.
Yeah.
And I know LeBron is a physical beast. Durant averages more than that. Now, Durant weighs about the same as me. He's a lot taller, but he weighs about the same as I do. You know, 200 pounds or so, and he's getting 7.9 rebounds a game. So Brooke Lopez has just got to figure that out. When you're 7'2", 250, you got to be able to get more than 7 rebounds a night. But he is blocking 2 shots a game. He's shooting 75% from the free throw line and 52% from the field. And he has been a real key to kind of stabilizing that situation in Brooklyn. You know, after they fired Avery, they had that bad month of December. It looked like the wheels were going to fall off out there. You know, Avery got the can. They had to get rid of Avery. You know, they let Avery Johnson. That's my Avery Johnson impersonation. They had to get rid of Avery and let him go. P.J. Carlissimo took over, and nobody choked him. I mean, that's a win in itself, right? I mean, you got Andre Blatch on the roster. You got Reggie Evans on the roster. You know, Chris Humphries might just slap somebody every now and then because he's just frustrated because ever since the whole Kim Kardashian deal, you know, his life is going to heck. You know what I'm saying? They just ain't been going his way. I mean, he was a double-double guy before he got mixed up with her. And ever since then, man, he can't get off the bench. It's like they're punishing him for her. So, you know. Yeah, there's a lot of frustration built up with Humphrey. So, you know, he cats rapping about him and stuff. So he might have, I mean, nobody choked P.J. Carlissimo. You know, you had 2 crazy cats on the team, a dude who's, you know, just went through a rough patch in his life and getting rapped about and girlfriends on TV pregnant by other dudes. And, you know, that's hard. And nobody choked Carlissimo. So that's a big victory. It's unfortunate J.G. is selling shares in the Brooklyn Nets. So that is definitely going to affect the cool points with everybody.
I will say that. Brooke doubled his rebounding total from last year. He averaged 3.5 rebounds, and now he's up to 7. And
breakout.
I mean, again, that's impressive. I'm not kidding. That's impressive. He also doubled, close to tripled, his block shot total. So I'll give that to you. And I'll also say that I had him on my roster all year of a fantasy basketball league that I recently won. Just wanted to throw that in.
Cat had to throw it out there. Cat, yes, he did. PhD is now reigning champion of the RSG fantasy
I'm like
basketball
Spurs.
League.
I'm like the Spurs. I win every 4 or 5
he
years.
Dethroned my wife.
Five.
He dethroned Mrs. Game Changer. Took her down. He ousted her in the second round. Went on to the championship against Royster.
Yeah.
And beat her. Royster, if you're listening, he got you. You misplayed the last week. The key things you could have done differently. You kind of used up all your moves early. You know, if you want to, we can do a workshop on it another time. I can give you some pointers,
yeah,
some tips. Actually, I can. I came in dead last. I had a bad year. Bad year for the Game Changer.
Yeah, what is that? I mean, what?
That's two in a row. Yeah. That's two. I'm like the Lakers, man. I got too full of myself. You know, I started reading my own press clippings. You know, yeah, exactly. Thought I was doing more than I really was. You know, looking for star power. You know, picking up cats injury prone, and you know, things just didn't turn out well, man. Things just didn't turn out well. You know, Kevin Love, he shot 35% on the season. I mean, he played 18 games. What can I do with that? I can't do nothing with that.
Were you even playing this year?
Exactly. And I was my best player, so you know, I was in trouble. I was in trouble from the jump. So yeah, I took last, dead last. We'll be back though. I'm rolling like the Spurs when they sat out Robinson. You know, they sat out Robinson, got the first pick, picked up Duncan, and went on a run. That's what we're gonna do.
The Spurs dropped Steven Jackson.
Yeah, and picked up Tracy McGrady.
Wow.
T-Mac is back for the playoffs, baby. He's trying to get to the second round. He ain't never been to the second round. T-Mac is back. Yeah, man. They dropped Steven Jackson. You want to drop the quote on him that Steven Jackson gave on his way out the door in San Antonio?
Yeah, Steven. you know, I can't find it right now, but yeah, do you remember it?
I don't. I was putting that on you.
I don't actually remember it, and sorry.
We will keep it rolling then. It was a great quote. Look it up. Steven Jackson. Just go, Steven Jackson gets cut. I guarantee you'll find it. But, yeah, other guys who I thought about as far as guys that kind of took that step were John Wall, really took a leap this year. Drew Holiday made some huge strides. So guys like that who really kind of stepped it up. Paul George, Indiana, made a big leap, went from being a decent guy to a stud. Now they got to take that next step from stud to star. And that's where guys like Kyrie Irving are. That's where Steph Curry is. You know, he's got to go from being a stud to a star. So we got a little bit of time left. Really, the playoffs, a lot of the series are set. Give me a couple of series that you're going to be DVRing. DVR-worthy series for the listeners out there. You know, for you non-NBA fans or you casual NBA fans, the playoffs are the time where people kind of step into the season and start checking it out real hard. So let's give the listeners out there some of the matchups that they should really check into. When we're looking at some of the matchups, I'll read them off real quick. In the West, you know, we have the Oklahoma City Thunder taking on either the Lakers or the Jazz, the San Antonio Spurs battling with the Houston Rockets, the Denver Nuggets taking on the Golden State Warriors, and the Clippers of Los Angeles taking on the Memphis Grizzlies. Man, those are all, in my opinion, great series. I don't really think you can go wrong watching any of those.
Yeah.
Larry, what is the series? Out of those series, what is one that you really recommend for folks, for the DVR crowd?
Well, you mentioned the last one, and when we were talking about the Lakers and the Clippers, I was looking at that Clippers and Memphis matchup. Now, for those not in the know, these two teams got a bit of a history of some scuffles. I think they don't really like each other. And so this could be one of those, like, old-school Eastern Conference-type matchups where fists could be flying. And I'm really looking forward to watching that one. That's the one I'm going to be watching in the West for sure. They split during the regular season, and they both average about 100 points a game. So it's probably going to be pretty close every game. So that's the one I'm looking out for.
Yeah, and Memphis made some sneaky good moves, picking up, you know, when they traded Rudy Gay, they were able to flip that and get a kid, a Tayshaun Prince in return. And I think, you know, he fits that. He fits what they're trying to do out there. And they have that vibe of some of those old Pistons teams from the mid-2000s, early 2000s, and the Bad Boys teams where they really aren't flashy. They really aren't, you know, smooth. They're just kind of rugged. They're rough and rugged. And I think that's why they have beef with the Clippers. The Clippers are a little showtimey. You know, they got the Lob City joint going. You know, the Lob, the alley-oops, you know, the meme mugging, you know, after dunks and all that kind of stuff. And I really just think the Memphis don't like that. You know, Memphis, the Clippers are that cat in the club with the nice chain, little sport coat on, you know, flashing money, buying everybody drinks. And Memphis is the thug in the back who's just like, I don't like that dude.
I don't like him at all.
He
liked the dude in Belly when they was in Nebraska. He was like, I don't like that.
Banana all on his lip.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the perm eating banana.
That's Memphis. That's Memphis right there. They're the cat with the perm, Rico.
Yeah, Rico. Yeah. I like that.
Memphis is Rico. They got the perm on the corner eating a banana. Banana bits all on their lips. Like, nah, I ain't riding with that. That ain't popping.
Yeah. So and the Clippers are like, nah, it's too. Yep, that's it.
Yeah. PhD, what you looking forward to out West?
Huh. So out West, I like the Clippers. It looks like they're going to be in that 4-5 matchup. I like them against Memphis, and I like them against Oklahoma City.
Okay.
Upset alert. New York falls to Boston in the first round.
Yeah.
Because
I'm on that
they
one
are
too.
Who we thought they were.
I'm on that one too. I think Boston is a sleeping giant as always. I think you get them in the playoffs, and anything can happen. You know, they've hit a rough patch of late and just kind of been playing 500 ball. But New York, the paper champs, man, they're a paper tiger. You know, the regular season, they're like the old Phoenix Suns. You know, those running gun teams where the old Mavericks, where it looks good during the regular season, but once comes playoff time and things start to get a little chippy, the ball stops moving as freely. That pretty three don't start to go down like it did before. I like that pick. Another series I'm really looking forward to in the playoffs is Denver and Golden State. You know, if one of these games isn't 121 to 119, I'd be surprised. I expect these two teams to get up and down the floor. They're both very fun to watch. If you haven't had a chance to watch Steph Curry shoot, take a look at it. Another guy who's fun to watch, Iguodala, JaVale McGee. The pace that the Nuggets play at is just unbelievable. I mean, it's breakneck. So that's another team. That's another series that I'd be really interested in. And ultimately, man, I want to see more of the Big Bad Wolf, which is the Miami Heat, man. They're going to be playing the Bucks up here in Milwaukee for two games. I don't think they'll get any more than that. But Bucks will get their little two home games, and it'll be over. But, I mean, just watching that team work and come together as a unit and do what they've done over this season is phenomenal. And just think about it. LeBron won 65 games. This team has won 65 games. In 2008, 2009, LeBron won 66 games with Mo Williams as his second best player. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. And we'll have to have a whole other show dedicated to how I've kind of come around on LeBron, and I've made peace with how I feel about LeBron as a
I'm proud of you.
As a player.
I'm very proud of you, man.
Maturity is a great thing. You know, I don't know how you can anymore, man. I really don't. I mean, what else do you want him to do?
Go away.
that's my answer to anybody who has an issue with LeBron at this point. What do you want him to do? I mean, like what? What else is there for him to
do
at this point?
Larry? Like I said, go away. That's it.
What do you mean, go away?
Well,
yeah, I'm going to hold your feet to the fire. What do you mean, go away?
Sorry, G, baby.
I just want him to be the player that he should be. And I don't think he's really there yet. Maybe I'll give him a pass once, you know, I take away his Kleenex box.
Wait a minute, Larry, what else can this guy do? I mean, let me read him off to you real quick. This brother is shooting 56% from the field, 40% from three. That's better than Carmelo. That's better than Kobe. That's better than James Harden. That's better than Kyrie Irving. That's better than Chris Paul. That's better than Paul Pierce.
Larry, he's shooting, okay to step out and just say, I don't like him. I mean, it's okay.
He's shooting 75% from the line. He gives you 8 rebounds, 7 assists,
first,
a steal and a half, a block.
Call mercy, Larry. Call mercy.
You have to admit that you are willing to bury that hatchet. And I'm not there yet, dog. You just got to accept it.
It's not about anything he's done. It's just a hurdle you got to get over. I can live with that. As long as you're willing to own it, I can live with it.
And I will own it. I am carrying the torch for both of us, dog. I got it.
I just don't like you, man. Okay, I hear you, man.
I'm pulling a Rico on him, dog.
Right. Yeah.
I don't like that. I gotta get that for the board.
Yeah, haters gonna hate.
Oh man, well we're winding this show down, but we cannot finish it without doing the Resistance Digital Dog of the Week. So fellas, let's weigh in real quick with our dogs of the week. Larry, hit us off. Your Resistance Digital Dog of the Week as we get to close out the show.
Well, one of the announcers that actually made me fall in love with watching football Sunday mornings, Pat Summerall, rest in peace, but you're my dog of the week.
Hey, and Pat used to kill it on the real early Maddens. Remember, like I think it was like Madden 92,
yeah.
94, and when the ambulance would come out when you would get hurt, and Pat Summers would just jump in, there's a man down. That'll let you know there's a man down. Did an ambulance run on the field?
And he was the announcer on Golden Tee Golf. So yeah, Pat Summerall, baby.
Alright, Larry throws one out to Pat Summerall, PhD, your dog of the week.
I'm throwing another one out to Pat Summerall, man. That was my dog of the week selection. A lot of people don't remember, but Pat Summerall was an All-Pro kicker for years before he even got into broadcasting. So Pat Summerall, like, because of Pat Summerall, he made Madden greater. And that's one of the reasons Madden is an icon.
Absolutely. And he was always the kicker on all Madden teams.
That's right.
Madden wouldn't pick a kicker. He just had Summerall as a kicker. So my dog of the week, the first responders, in Boston. It takes a special person when stuff hits the fan and everybody's running the other way to run towards the danger. And that's what they did. So hats off to them. This is the Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com, RSB Renegade Radio, signing off.